It's May, and we're celebrating our first full year of podcasting on history.org. We're pleased that you listen, and we appreciate your email. We're still doing what you seem to enjoy on Colonial Williamsburg, past and present, letting you meet behind the scenes the people who work here. That's my job. I'm Lloyd Dobbins, and mostly I ask questions. This time I'm asking Bill Weldon, who is the director for the Revolutionary City and Colonial Williamsburg's historic area. And I guess the first question is, what is the Revolutionary City?
Well, Lloyd, the Revolutionary City is a new approach to programming that we're undertaking this year with the idea of really trying to represent theater or history as theater and concentrate our living history program in the afternoons for a 2.5 hour period to really reveal Williamsburg's role in the American Revolution and the War for Independence, using actors to portray historical figures that we know were players in Williamsburg's revolutionary story.
Yeah, the history in Williamsburg is not exactly unknown, so you know who was here and when they were
exactly,
here.
Exactly, that's right, yeah.
So you do this, what, in the afternoon?
Yes, the program runs from 2:30 to 5 o'clock every day. We actually close off the east end of the historic area from Botetourt Street up past the Capitol so that we can use that entire environment for the actors to live out these scenes that represent Williamsburg in the Revolution.
Back in my youth, which was a long time ago, I've done a little acting. Outdoor acting, actors hate because you can't be heard.
Yes.
Have you got that solved somehow?
We're certainly working on solving it. We've determined that for the major scenes and the big events that we're going to represent, we're actually amplifying the actors. We're using microphones because of that very reason. We want to be able to reach an audience of a size up to as many as 2,000 people for these big scenes. And amplification is the only way we're going to accomplish that.
Yeah, I know in the old days, I'm talking about revolutionary days, with some of the people I've interviewed, they were talking about people who could be heard by 5,000, 6,000 people, open air, just speaking. That secret's been lost a long time ago.
Evidently, yes. We know people like the renowned preacher George Whitefield, supposedly on one occasion preached to a crowd of people in Philadelphia numbering over 30,000 people. Unamplified, of course. But we find with all the varying conditions that we have to deal with outdoors, that for quality's sake, it's just safer and more effective to amplify the actors.
And it just occurred to me, why do you want to be outdoors? Couldn't you do it in the theater?
Well, in our situation, we want to be able to attract an audience up to as many as 2,000 people. And we just don't have that kind of indoor venue. And besides, and perhaps more importantly, we want people to be on the ground where these things actually happened. That's our principal motivation, I think, in staging it in the historic area. The Capitol building, for instance, is a reconstructed building, but it's on the very same ground where things like the Virginia Declaration of Rights, the Virginia Constitution, were actually constructed. So we feel like there's a lot of value to having people in those environments actually experiencing things where they happened.
Okay. Who do you hope to attract?
Everybody and anybody. One of the principal aims for the Revolutionary City is to bring folks to Williamsburg who maybe have never considered themselves interested in history before. And perhaps the appeal of living history, of having people actually portray the historical characters, will provoke them to want to come see what this is all about.
Okay, so here come these people. You've got them in the historic area, one end of it, and you've got historic characters who are doing things. Are you trying to involve them? Do you want the people?
Absolutely. That's one of the principal aims of this whole undertaking. Is not just that they watch a theatrical production, but they actually project themselves into these historical events and stories And one of the things that we've concerned ourselves most with in the training of the actors is how to actively engage and involve people into the stories. We want them to feel like they're participants in this. As a matter of fact, in the opening scenes each day, we indicate to them, for the next 2 hours, we want you to think of yourselves as citizens in Virginia in the 1770s and 80s. Come experience with us what it was like to live through these times in Williamsburg.
Well, you always have interpreters here, so they are probably more likely to interact with people than regular actors would.
Well, we very deliberately named the position that the actors now occupy actor interpreters for the purpose of communicating that they're not just actors in the sense of stage performance, where they speak lines and people listen, but they're also interpreters in the regard that part of their job is to relate these things both to people and to have them then engage back in the history that we're portraying.
I think that would probably take more courage than I've got. I don't mind acting where I can say lines and stop.
Well,
but if you have to engage people, how do you go about that?
I think it's a matter first of having a sensibility of enjoying conversation, of not necessarily the need to be extroverted, but the desire and the willingness to go up to total strangers and begin to talk to them about something they may or may not have any knowledge of. And it takes a lot of gumption. It takes a lot of nerve even to do that. And it's not something that's come naturally to some of the actors that we've brought in to do these things.
It wouldn't come naturally to me, I promise. There is I suppose, though, being in costume gives you a certain amount of armor. You obviously are not of this period.
Well, I'll confess to you that in my everyday role as a manager and program developer, I'm not inclined to do that kind of thing. As Bill Weldon, I'm not inclined to walk up to total strangers and presume I can engage them in a conversation about something. But it does serve as an armor. I think that's a good analogy. When I step into costume and step into another persona, I do feel empowered to do that very thing. So I think perhaps the costume is a protection in that regard.
Do you pick people out that you want to talk to?
I do, and I think that a lot of the actors sort of develop a sense of who wants to play the game and who may not want to. And I think with experience, you can read people's eyes, you can read their body language, and you can determine, oh, they're very interested in playing with me in this scene. And other people will indicate to you, no, I'm much more comfortable just to watch, thank you. So you do have to be sensitive to that.
Yeah. How about kids? Do you try and involve kids?
Absolutely. We did the scene yesterday, and I walked up to a group of school kids that I discovered after the fact were third graders, asked them where they had come from, asked them if they had enjoyed hearing Patrick Henry's speech, asked them to repeat some of it for me, and they got a tremendous kick out of that. And engaging kids is always rewarding. If you give them the opportunity to play, because that's what kids like to do.
Yeah, when you said some people will indicate they want to play, and I said, well, that's every kid I've ever known.
Exactly, yeah, especially smaller kids. We've also found that kids of the age of 8 to 12 years old are particularly keen on reacting to the historical aspects of the program.
And I hate to say this because it's almost the kiss of death, but in a way, this is an educational effort.
Oh, it absolutely is.
That you're masquerading as theater.
That's pretty well put, I'd say, yes.
Uh-huh. But if somebody said school, no one would come, right?
No. As a matter of fact, one comment that we hear fairly regularly, those of us who portray characters or take part in the Living History program, is, gee, I wish they had taught me history this way in school. And that's one of the most rewarding and gratifying things that I think we hear.
Why don't schools teach history that way?
Well, traditionally, the history class has been the teacher standing up and lecturing about a particular event or time period. But what we're finding more and more are teachers who let the kids role play particular historical events. As a matter of fact, we operate what we refer to as a teacher's institute, where we spend a lot of time working with teachers on engagement techniques and living history techniques that they can actually employ in their classrooms. I believe that there's a sort of a shift in the way teachers and school systems are portraying history.
Yeah, that would be a good thing as well.
Well, we certainly think so, yeah.
Now, you've said you want to attract crowds up to 2,000. I don't know if you know this, but off the top of your head, how many people are producing, acting in the, how many roles do you have?
We have 40 actor-interpreters who each work 5 days a week. The programming occurs over the full 7 days of each week. So that requires that each actor be prepared and play two and, in some cases, three different roles so that we have each of the roles covered each day of the program. We have another dozen people who are principally involved in the production of the program each day. Sound technicians, props people, stage managers, those folks have to be on the scene every afternoon to make the show go, just as the case with any theatrical production.
That is going to be, it's going to be fun to come back a year from now and see how you feel about it after you've been doing it for a year.
I'll be fascinated to see myself how I feel about it after a year. And one of the things that we've been aware of from the beginning of the planning of the Revolutionary City is that it's going to have to grow and change. And if you come back next year and you don't see changes in the program, then we will not have followed through on that really critical part of the job.
That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time. Check history.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.